Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program, and it's Monday, July the 7th, 2025. Again, as always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Tim Wildman in studio with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Hey, Tim.
Well, fellows, there are moments in our lives that are etched in our brain that we remember, you know, when it happened, at least. And this is one of them after what happened in Texas over the weekend, Fred.
Absolutely. A story that began to unfold very early on Friday morning. Now, people in the area of Guadalupe, the Guadalupe area in central Texas, communities you might want to think about as far north as Killeen, but the area well south of that, it's kind of west of Austin. It's an area very well known, scenic, a lot of campgrounds.
Hill country,
summer homes, that kind of thing. Early on Friday morning, there was a flash flood warning that went out, but I'm talking about 1:30 in the morning when this flash flood warning went out. Now, they had been expecting rain, heavy rain, but by 4 o'clock on Friday morning, it began to become clear that this was much more than even a flash flood warning. It was going to be very serious. And so because of the hour that this all occurred and that we had reports of the Guadalupe River rising 27 feet in 45 minutes, as tributaries and streams from that mountainous area around this river just dump water in there. And as of this moment, and I know our folks have been keeping track of this through the weekend, the death toll has risen to 82. There are still dozens of people missing. The search goes on. If you've seen pictures from the area, it is like a war zone. There's even video of this, how quickly this water rose. People weren't expecting it. There were actually pictures of people down by the river, and they had to scramble. The water was rising so quickly. So if you get a chance to look at those videos. But there's been a lot of attention, particularly in the Christian community, because there was a girls' Christian camp, and the loss there is, it's called Camp Mystic. As of this morning, what we're hearing from that camp is 27 people who were at that camp are dead. 11 are missing. And we're talking children and counselors. This morning, of the 11 missing, 10 kids, 10 little girls, and one counselor. One of those girls that was camping there who managed to escape, now her name is Kaylee McAlary. And she was interviewed on Fox News this morning. She was sure she was going to die. Cut number one.
I put on my name tag because I was scared that if water was coming out next to our other cabins, that our cabin might be next. And I just put it on just for safekeeping, saying if something does happen and I do get swept away, at least I'll have my name on my body.
She thought for sure she was going to die. So she put her name tag on so that people could identify her if her body was found. There was another interview this morning with a local restaurant owner, Lorena Guillen is her name. She kind of unfolds as customers realize they were in growing danger there at her local restaurant. Cut number three.
If you had seen what July 3rd looked like, you will never guess that this was coming that night. I even, at my restaurant, I had a band playing. I even had them played outside because there was no rain coming. So everybody had a wonderful time. a lot of my customers that that were here July 3rd are missing. Hearing the screams, because you couldn't see anything, it was pitch black. But hearing people screams, kids screaming, asking for help. Cars were floating away with the lights on. You could see the lights and you can hear honking. And it, there was like not one or two, but there were dozens of vehicles just floating away. Actually, he was the last one out of the restaurant. We finished cleaning and 1 o'clock in the morning, he went home because it started to rain really hard. And he got after his house started flooding eventually, and to get his family out, he broke a window and he cut an artery on his arm really hard, deep. And he got his family to safety. He did. He got his babies out, three beautiful little kids. And he bled to death.
Wow.
Horrible.
I'm reading on Fox that there was another one, because this, you mentioned, Fred, lots of camps, lots of RVs and campgrounds. This article talks about another summer camp. It was a Presbyterian assembly, some kind of recreation destination. They started, they were monitoring things, and they noticed the water rising, and they were able to get all 70 of the folks, children and adults, who were at the summer camp, get them out. But they had somebody monitoring the weather, and then they looked outside and saw the water rising. But as this lady was sharing, this happened at night. And, you know, I guess in daytime, maybe you might see some rising of the water. But my understanding is this river rose, was it 27 feet in 45 minutes?
That's what we're told.
As you said, all the water being dumped in it from different tributaries. I know my family lived in New Mexico and Arizona, I'm talking about like my parents. And we were always warned about what they called arroyos. Mm. And that's, I think that's a Spanish word for these areas where the water comes rushing out of the mountains when you have bad storms.
Yeah.
And they have to warn people because people will camp in them.
Yeah.
And then it's so sudden. Yeah. You don't see it coming.
Now, the weather part of this story, the human tragedy, is the top story here because the loss of life and so many families affected. You said confirmed 84?
82 at this moment.
82 passed away?
Yes.
With others missing.
Dozens are still missing.
I was reading, there's a story on CNN, and here's all it says. I can't watch the video. It says that that 4 months of rain, what would normally be 4 months of rain in that area, fell in hours.
Yeah.
I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a rain bomb, storms. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, where exactly it started, you know, upriver.
Upriver from there. Upriver. Yeah.
So... you know, because you just wonder how in the world does this happen? Is it a shallow river, or is it just a perfect storm, so to speak?
I think that's what it is.
A rain bomb.
What I understand, you had this front that started to move through upriver, and it parked itself for a while.
Okay.
It didn't move.
Okay.
And it just...
I've seen that happen.
The comparison to what happened in North Carolina, Asheville, last September is actually amazing. I was in Asheville just a few weeks ago, and somebody there was explaining what happened. They had a front come in, and it dumped about 7 or 8 inches of rain, which is highly unusual in that Asheville area. But it was followed up just a few days later by Helene.
Yeah.
The storm Helene, which dumped 17 inches on top of that. And we saw what happened there.
You already have ground that's saturated, so yep. There's nowhere for the water to go except to run off.
It rises,
yeah,
and then it takes in these. And I walked in downtown Asheville, and it looks still looks like a war zone.
Even now?
Even now. I mean, it's
well,
this will take months to repair. Here's what's happening. This is kind of... Now people are trying to even blame the Trump administration because there were cutbacks in the weather forecasters and all this sort of thing. It's very interesting this morning. Kurt Knudsen, he's a Fox News tech consultant. He says the Weather Service did its job in this. Cut number five.
Let's set the record straight here. So first of all, you've got the National Weather Service prediction and warnings. They were issued. Those did go out. We also now have a timeline. And just doing a cursory investigation, we know that at least 3 hours after the first warning, another signal went out to phones. Just what the commissioner was saying didn't happen actually did happen. So, yes, you can turn those off on your phone. But for the most part, people, even when the phone is asleep, it will alert you if you have your government alerts turned on your phone. You should always have those, especially if you're in a threatening area.
So basically what he's saying, everything that they could have done was done. But the time of the day plays into this also. Like they were saying, the counselors at this Camp Mystic, they're not allowed to have cell phones in there for whatever reason. They don't want the counselors playing on their cell phones
right.
at night and that sort of thing. And obviously the campers aren't allowed to have it. So the blame game has started, but you've got to put all of these other things in context.
It's also the time of the year, too.
Yeah.
If people are at camp or they're on vacation, they're probably less likely. They're going to be turning, they'll be turning their phones off. They'll be turning their notifications off. And so you're not probably paying as much attention
yeah.
to things like weather alerts as you do when you're trying to figure out how am I going to get to
right.
work.
And this is happening between 1 and 5 in the morning.
Early Friday morning, yeah.
So because I read some accounts where some of the kids at the camp said, we woke up and water was in our cabin. You know what I'm saying? And it was rising fast. So, yeah. I mean, this just came upon suddenly. So you having water. Ed and I were just watching a video and then this was a daytime video. So this must have been several hours later
mm-hmm.
after it struck the campgrounds in that area. But because the video was taken in the daylight, so it's probably downriver, you know, a couple of hours or whatever. I'm just guessing here. But the point is to watch the speed in which the floods came and how fast they rose. This is one of those things where nobody could have predicted it. That's my assessment of watching it. Nobody could have predicted that this would have happened so fast.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, 82, you said 82?
It's 82. And of course we talked about this Christian girls camp, Camp Mystic. And, I mean, there's, you can imagine these young girls there, they're fast asleep. All of a sudden there is a realization, one of the counselors, whatever the case may be, and I think we have one of the Mystic counselors, Catherine Summerhill is her name. She talks about her efforts to get the girls out and two military trucks there to rescue them. Cut number four.
Our girls from the dining hall, which is at the very top of a hill, many feet away from the Guadalupe River, which was risen 26, so many feet. So we guided our girls hand in hand to these military trucks. And we all had to get on those trucks, 30 of us at a time, hand in hand, as they guided us to safety.
Okay, so 26 feet, you mentioned that. This is what's being reported, 26 feet. How do you pronounce the name of the river?
Guadalupe.
Guadalupe River, 26 feet in 45 minutes. Okay, a basketball goal is 10 feet high. Or would that be considered a story?
I think 10 feet high
is
a story.
Yeah. Is a story.
Like when you're talking about two stories.
Yes. So you're talking about 2.5 stories high, if you were looking at it in terms of a building, in 45 minutes?
Yes.
That's like a dam breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
And it's not only the height, it's the force.
Yes, the force of it.
Moving.
No, so I don't know how, anybody could have predicted that or forecast that. You can forecast heavy rain, but forecast that kind of a surge in the rise of the...
Well, it's certainly inappropriate to be blaming people for, you know, for one side of the political spectrum to be using this to blame President Trump or...
Well, they're saying the cuts, these far lefties who are deranged people.
Yeah.
They're saying that the cuts in the federal programs having to do with weather is what led to this disaster.
Yeah.
Why do you blame FEMA? Well, FEMA is post-disaster.
Right.
Okay. The just an aside here, President Trump had criticized FEMA. It had a lot of people after their response to the hurricane. Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and so forth. Mm-hmm. But that was, President Trump was saying, well, maybe we just need to give the money to the states and let them administer it if FEMA can't do any better than they did.
That was about incompetence, not cutting off disaster funding.
Right. And I said, even if you blamed that, that's something that happens after the disaster, not a preventative measure. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Steve Jordahl sent me a link to a story. This, I think, is on probably New York Post. Now, some of our listeners may have read this already, but it says two sisters killed in the devastating Texas Hill Country floods were found with their hands locked together. Grieving family members said as they continued to search for the girls' missing grandparents. Liz, I saw, as many of us and our listeners have, a time-lapse video, one section of the river, and the speed with, now it's time-lapse, obviously, but the speed with which this river rose and the power, as you're mentioning, of the water, and cars swept away, as we heard one witness say, there's just no resisting that. I mean, people get swept out to sea all the time at the beach because of a riptide.
Yeah.
And that's just pulling your feet out from under you, from under you. But you get hit by this wall of water moving that fast, debris in the water. It was a terrifying thing to watch some of these videos.
There were houses floating down.
Yes.
Sheds.
Cars.
Yep.
You know what? I'm just thinking 80 to 90%, I don't know how you put a percentage on exactly, but of this, the tragedy was caused by the fact that this was happening at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Played a lot into it.
Yeah. If this is 4 o'clock in the afternoon, word spreads faster. Mm-hmm.
Adults see what's happening.
You see what's happening, and you're going, wait, what? Look at this.
Let's head for high ground.
Yeah, so I think the fact that everybody's in their beds at that time of the night, and you say, and you know, a lot of people aren't paying attention to their phones necessarily. Uh-huh. They got them on silent, or as Ed said, they got them turned off. And you said some of these campgrounds, the counselors weren't allowed to have phones, which I can understand.
Plus, even if you are alerted to the danger, it's pitch dark.
Right.
You know, you don't know which way to go and who, you know, where is everybody? It's a terrifying scenario. Lots of parents and grandparents having nightmares over this. But for the folks who have lost loved ones, the nightmare is real.
You know, I was reading and there's still family members, obviously, who are searching.
Yeah.
For their loved ones, including some of the little girls who were at this camp. We're missing still, even, you know, that's, anyway, we are seeing some rescues.
Yeah, there's hundreds of people that have been rescued. And, you know, kudos to those teams that are doing this. So we were talking about one story this morning. Maybe Steve will expand on this a little bit about I think he's a National Guard work. They had a helicopter in there just going down and plucking people. There's another story about a lady who drifted down. She was caught up in the water. She managed to grab a branch and hang in a tree until she was rescued. I mean, we're going to keep getting stories about this for a long time.
One of these individual young men who's, part of the Coast Guard?
I think so, yeah.
Saved 165 people.
Just plucking them up, bringing them up.
And this is with a helicopter.
And yeah, he actually went down and then got people into the basket or whatever the case was to be airlifted out of there. You know, one of the questions that's coming up already, and it'll come up again and again and again, why would God allow this? Pastor Robert Jeffers, pastor of a First Baptist in Dallas, was being interviewed this morning on Fox, and I wanted you to listen to what he had to say about this question that is certainly going to be asked over and over again. Cut number 8.
And Lawrence, the question I'm often asked is, why would God allow something like this to happen? And I remind people that the world we're living in right now is not the way God intended the world to be. Floods like this, earthquakes, war, death, none of those things was part of God's plan. But the good news is this world we're in won't always be this way. The great hope of the Christian faith is that one day Christ is going to return and he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. And on that day, the Bible says, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes and there shall no longer be any death or mourning or crying or pain, for the first things will have passed away. That's the hope of the Christian faith.
I must say, too, Robert Jeffers being interviewed at Fox and Friends this morning. You know, the gospel was presented this morning. Fox and Friends went about 2 hours on this morning.
Yeah.
And the gospel was presented a number of times, including Lawrence Jones, who's one of the co-hosts of Fox and Friends in the morning. He talked about the gospel. He talked about these kids that we believe that were saved. It was a Christian camp.
Yeah.
That they're in heaven right now. And they'll be reunited with their families. I mean, that's our hope, as right. Dr. Jeffers is pointing
out. Yeah, but I think the question is, which we can't answer because it's been asked for thousands of years, we can't answer altogether because we're not God, is why does God allow this to happen in the first place?
Yeah.
To innocent people. I say innocent people like these children. And we've all thought about that, and then we go back to our lives, and then something else happens, and you go, why does God allow this to happen? Because God is sovereign. He is all-powerful. He can prevent anything he wants to, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, listen, I'm no theologian, but I don't even know if I'm speaking for you guys, okay, when I say what I'm going to say, but I think God, we live on planet Earth, and you know what? Bad things happen because of nature. Bad things happen because of people's decisions. Bad thing happens because of our own decisions. In this case, nature struck. When it rains that much on top of an area and it floods like that, people are going to be affected by that. And it's not any. And so God does not. Gosh, I'm not. God does not intervene to stop that. Always. And when he does,
very rare.
And when he does, guess what it's called?
Right.
A miracle. A miracle. So we've all had happened. I think we've all had things happen in our lives. We go, well, that was a miracle of God. Otherwise, something else worse would have happened. Have we not all experienced that?
Yeah, absolutely.
But then but more times than not, we go, well, this happened because, listen, my first cousin's wife was killed. When they had a baby, the baby was 2 or 3. And you know why she was killed? Because of a drunk driver. And you go, well, why did God allow that to happen? Well, the man who struck them chose to drink, got drunk, and they were impacted by that.
And then drove.
And God does not always intervene to stop those things from happening that naturally happen as a result of consequences of, in this case, nature or poor decisions by us or by other people. I know that that's not a satisfactory answer if you've lost your.
Well, let me give you my answer.
Okay, when we get back.
No, I'm just kidding. I was just kidding. Yeah.
Okay.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Dr. A.J. Cronin was a physician in England until health broke. Unable to carry on his medical work, Dr. Cronin turned to writing. It was one of the best things that ever happened to the world of literature, for through his writings, Dr. Cronin continued his work of healing. Dr. Cronin had an experience happen to him prior to his retirement from the medical profession. It's an experience that Dr. Cronin told that needs to be retold often. It's the story of a young nurse who was put in charge of a little boy brought into the hospital suffering from diphtheria. The child's throat was choked with membrane, and he was given only a slight chance to live. A tube was inserted into the boy's throat to help him breathe. It was the young nurse's job to systematically clean the tube so that it would not become blocked, thereby cutting off the boy's breathing. As the young nurse sat beside the boy, tired and sleepy, she accidentally dozed off. She awakened to find the tube had become blocked. Instead of following her instructions, the nurse bolted in panic. Hysterically, she called the doctor out of his sleep, but by the time the doctor got to the young boy, he was dead. Dr. Cronin was angry beyond expression that a child should die so needlessly by such blundering, inexcusable negligence. Of course, the nurse's career was through. She didn't deserve another chance. That night, Dr. Cronin went into his office, dipped his pen in ink, and wrote his recommendation to the board, demanding her immediate expulsion. He called her in and read it with a voice trembling with resentment and anger. She stood there in pitiful silence, a tall, thin, gawky Welsh girl. She nearly fainted with shame and remorse. "Well, have you nothing to say for yourself?" asked Dr. Cronin in a harsh voice. There was more silence, and then came a stammering plea. Give me another chance. Well, Dr. Cronin was shocked. Certainly he had no thought of doing that. She'd made a mistake, an unforgivable mistake. There was nothing to do but punish her. He ordered her to leave the room, sealed his report, left it on his desk, and went to bed. But that night, he could not sleep. He kept hearing some words from the dark distance. The words came easing from the stillness of the night. "Forgive us our trespasses." How often that word comes to us, and how much we need forgiveness. How many times we make mistakes, unforgivable mistakes, and we need another chance. Consider the plight of the world if there was no source of forgiveness, no cross, no Christ. The next morning, Dr. Cronin went to his desk and tore up the report. In the years that followed, he watched as this slim, nervous girl became the head of a large hospital and one of the most honored nurses in all England. Forgiveness, it's a grand word. Practice it. Practice it often.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues. Today's Issues, the name of this program. Thank you for listening to AFR, Tim, Ed, and Fred. And we've been discussing, obviously, the number one news story in the world, at least in the United States, and that is the flooding in south central Texas, the Guadalupe River, and we have you've no doubt heard the story. 84 people now confirmed dead as a result of this.
CNN has it up to 89 now.
89, and a lot of people missing.
And yeah, dozens still missing.
It's missing, and it happened so fast. The waters rose 27 feet. That's nearly three story. 27 feet. That's nearly three stories of a building in 45 minutes, which seems impossible to happen. But go ahead, Fred.
We've got a bit of audio here from the Texas Ag Commissioner, Sid Miller. he is reacting to this. But to give another example of the amount of water in such a short period of time, just listen to this, folks. Cut number six.
We've lost hundreds of miles of fencing, you know, barns, all kinds of buildings, structures. We found livestock, cattle in the tops of trees. We haven't, you know, we're still so focused on search and rescue of the over 40 people that are still unaccounted for. That we haven't even, you know, had time to start calculating the agriculture loss. But it's very devastating. To try to put this in perspective, within a 24-hour period, there was enough water came down the Guadalupe River through Kerrville that would equal the water going through Niagara Falls in a month and a half.
That's just stunning.
Just picture that. If you've ever seen pictures or been at the Niagara Falls, a month and a half of water going over the night, that's what happened at the Guadalupe River. In 24 hours.
So do we know the inches of rainfall that fell? They said that?
Well, it started that. It's probably out there. I don't have that information.
Just curious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we just ask people to pray for the families. I know people will, especially our listeners. Pray for the families of these.
Okay, so I'm looking this up. It says the catastrophic flooding in Central Texas was caused by extreme rainfall, with some areas receiving over 15 inches of rain in just a few hours.
Okay.
That's stunning. Specifically, Mason reported 15.6 inches. San Angelo registered 12.7.
That's hurricane.
In other parts of the region, including Streeter, Texas, more than 20 inches of rain fell.
That's hurricane level. You know when the hurricane comes ashore and they say the, you know, it's going to dump 10 inches here in 2 hours or 3 hours? That's what we're talking about here. Because that was a freak weather pattern because, as you say, Fred, it must have just sat there.
Stalled.
It stalled. It didn't go anywhere. It just, you know, usually storms move in and out, right? Or move.
Especially in Texas and other areas of the Southwest.
Or dissipate. In this case, it just sat there on top of the same area. And because that kind of rainfall would be, I don't know how much they get a year there. I'm guessing maybe 30 inches. And you're telling me half that fell. In just a few hours, so.
And keep in mind, too, the victims are not just folks from Texas. We have a story on our website right now. A young Alabama student, a grandparent, and a camp director were among those killed in the Texas floods. So people from Louisiana were camping there, Alabama, other places. So this is
a popular area for vacationers.
I've never been there myself, but obviously it is a beautiful area.
Yeah.
All right, I did look up the annual rainfall in Central Texas, an average of 27 inches of rainfall annually.
Yeah.
So 15 is more than half what they would get per year.
In just a few hours.
In just that amount of time.
Let me ask you this, Ed, back to the theological question here. We were talking before the break, and again, I'm no theologian. I was just given my reading of the scripture and life experiences, what I thought about, you know, why God allowed this to happen. Did you want to add anything to that?
No, all I was going to say was, and I'm no theologian either, and theologians are important. Some people don't
think they are.
That they're important to have that kind of broad and deep perspective. The only thing I was going to say is that it is human nature, and we get this from the book of Job, okay? A righteous man who questions and complains to God about what has befallen him. And all I was going to say is that it is human nature to say, why didn't God stop this terrible thing from happening? But when you try to put fences around that and you try to get specific, and you start kind of drilling down and saying, well, what are you wanting God to stop? You find out that pool of things you want to not happen just keeps growing and growing. A pool's a bad metaphor under the circumstances, but we want sex trafficking to stop. We want murder. We want sex crimes. We want natural disasters. Cancer. You know, why did cancer take so-and-so? And I'm not blaming people for complaining and crying out. They want a solution. And what Robert Jeffress says, I think, is, you know, we played his that clip that he when he addressed this on Fox, is, and to your point, it's clear that God in this world, this universe we live in, is not, or at least most times, is not going to stop these things from happening.
The natural consequences of
the world in which
of the world
live,
in which we live,
natural
including
disasters. Now, human beings, God gives them wisdom, and listen, we all spend time glued to our weather channel or our local news when a big major storm is coming to find out if there are tornadoes touching ground. We get these warnings. You can get warnings on your phone. There are advancements against diseases. So God does bestow upon humanity the wisdom to develop tools to mitigate some of these disasters. But the truth is, it is only going to be in the new heavens and the new earth when this kind of suffering stops and ends. The people in Ukraine, why didn't God stop Russia from invading? Okay? What I'm saying is, you let me use a different metaphor. You start throwing things into that basket of things you want God to stop or prevent from happening. And how about my family lost its business? You know, we lost our business. We went bankrupt because of medical expenses. Our health is returned, but we're bankrupt. Why didn't God stop? You will fill that basket up and many more baskets, and it's clear that this is the world we live in. And most of the time, God does not intervene. And to your point, you can ask him when you get there. And you can try to look at the scriptures and say, well, I think we have some answers here, but there is God's answer to Job at the end of the book. He says, basically, you're not smart enough for me to explain all this to you. And Job is known for his faith, not just the complaining. He's known for his faith because at the end of the book, he said, all right, that's going to be good enough for me. I serve a loving God, and I am not smart enough to question him and put him in the docket. That's all.
And that's what heaven will be like, is there are going to be no tragedies. There are going to be no
right
death. Death will be non-existent. There will be no disease. On earth, yes, all those things will happen, will occur. But we long for.
Yeah, that's what we're crying out for. When we're saying, why didn't God? There are people, I'm sure, that wept. They didn't even have a dog in the fight, so to speak. They didn't have any family members that died in Central Texas over the weekend, but they probably wept at this. And people crying out and asking these questions of God, what they're really crying out for is what you just said, Tim. They're crying out for a time, and that will come for all those who trust Jesus, a time when this stuff doesn't exist anymore. Because God didn't create us for this.
That's what Robert Jeffress said earlier.
He didn't create us for this. This wasn't what God wanted for us.
So is that what the Bible means when it says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth? A new Jerusalem, all those things.
Earth will be remade, the Bible says. Uh-huh. We're not given very many details.
This earth?
This earth. And heaven actually comes down to join with this creation. That's the picture, I think. Again, not a theologian, of the new Jerusalem coming down to a remade earth. Second Peter talks about the earth and all of its works being burned up, and a new heavens and a new earth, and it's a world in which righteousness will dwell, and God will wipe away every tear, and there will be no heat, no sun beating down on us, no one will be hungry, there will be no division, no war, all these kinds of promises.
What about no winter?
Well,
just on a selfish level, yeah, I'm kind of hoping no winter.
I think probably no extremes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, that was a great explanation, because there is a, you know, the we use, Fred, the word fallen.
Yeah.
A lot of people who aren't Christians or don't know what that word means oftentimes when we use the word fallen. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, fallen world?
Yeah.
Well, a world in which bad things happen, yeah, to all of us. Doesn't matter what skin color you have, doesn't matter what ethnicity you have, doesn't matter
how good you are.
Doesn't matter how good you are. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
Okay? So we live in a fallen world. Yes, God does intervene sometimes to prevent things that would otherwise happening from happening. We've all seen people who've been healed miraculously from disease. But guess what? I use the word miraculously. That doesn't happen often.
Right.
That's the reason it's called a miracle. But we do know for the Christian that once you've received Christ as your Savior, and you've repented of your sin and received Christ as your Savior, correct me if I'm wrong here, then we know that our eternity, when we do die, and all of us will die one day for whatever reason, whether it's in a flood or whether we're 95 in a nursing home, that we leave this body and we go to be in this place with God,
yeah,
and other believers called heaven.
Yes.
That's why Jesus died on the cross.
Right. Yeah.
To give us this opportunity, this chance to be saved from our sin and to experience life abundant and life eternal.
God never intended for this mess. He intended for the Garden of Eden.
Right.
But what God did, God gave mankind the choice to obey or disobey. And what did man do?
Yeah.
Man disobeyed.
And the woman. Yeah, just want to remind.
Yes.
I mean,
it was a team.
Yeah, team effort.
Blunder.
Team blunder.
Team blunder.
That's a good nickname for Adam and Eve. Yeah.
So, and so the whole story of Scripture is God setting things straight.
Yeah.
And the largest part of that was to send his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins.
And
so that we have this home in heaven.
And the resurrection of the world,
yes,
if I can use it that way,
mm-hmm,
this kind of new heavens and new earth, comes through the work of Christ.
Yes.
That's what Romans 8 talks about, where God pours out his grace even to a fallen planet and universe.
Well, you know, I read this on the weekend somewhere. I wish I could quote the author. But, you know, for those who at times like this would doubt God's love, God put himself on a cross to die for our sins, to pay the price for our sins. What more could you want in a description of how much God loves us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he will fulfill his intention, because someday there will be that new heaven, new earth. And by the way, there will not be no snow, because there's no mention of snow in the Garden of Eden.
Well, you know, I know that's a side issue, but it is something I think about.
As a Canadian who hates snow.
All right.
Tossin, one other thing, too. Had the Son of God not come, okay, all this bad stuff would have happened anyway.
Yeah.
All right? Mm. So Christians have hope when bad stuff happens, the hope that comes through Christ. So I just toss this one thing in.
Then I got one thing.
Okay. When my mom was dying of cancer, she was just a phenomenal woman of God, prayer warrior, witness to everybody, embarrassed my dad all the time because she would just witness to everyone, you know, waiters, waitresses, whatever. But she was dying of cancer, and she was struggling with that because she was asking God to heal her, and it was becoming evident to her that if he was going to, he would have probably done it. And all I could say to her was, because she smoked early in her life before she came to Christ, okay, I said, Mom, I don't have answers, but I do know this, that probably what you had done to your body, you would have had this cancer anyway. Mm. I mean, this is the natural consequence,
right,
of abusing the body. I wasn't condemning her. I was saying, and what Christ the important thing is that you have Jesus in your life to walk with you through it.
Yeah.
And that is a comfort. You can't buy that comfort. And she had peace, you know, with what she, you know, was going through when she passed away. But sometimes these things would have all happened anyway had Jesus not come. The humanity has hope now, though, that they can't escape this through the Son of God hanging on a cross.
Amen. You know, amen to what you just said, and that's a lot of people identify what you just talked about in terms of having to walk through life themselves or with their family members through disease or sickness or I know we have one of our staff whose wife fell and had an accident and got paralyzed.
Yeah,
partly from the waist down. Well, he's works here at AFA, you know, serving the Lord.
Yeah,
but this tragedy befell them. But they're doing the best that they can.
Right.
But they haven't lost faith in God.
Right.
So here's the thing too: is at the end of the day, God is still God. No matter what.
Right.
So you can drive yourself crazy, and I know people who have, trying to question God or to say, why did this happen? Why did that happen?
And mocking Christians for their faith.
Mm-hmm. Right, which kind of is a mystery to me. If you don't believe in God, why do you mock those who do?
Yeah.
Because you're saying you're mocking them for believing in God. You don't even believe God exists. Why, right. Why do you care whether I do?
Right, right.
Because if I want to pray to a fairy tale,
yeah, if we're all just animals.
Why do you care?
What difference?
I think the answer to that is most of them deep down inside do,
yes,
do know there's a God and they hate him.
Yeah,
because that's the nature of sinful man is to rebel against God. But anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, at the end of the day, like you're saying earlier, you can question a thousand different ways why things happen. You're not gonna to bad things who happen. To quote good people, you're not going to have a satisfactory answer,
right?
Huh? You're not going to have a satisfactory answer. You may have an answer. You're not going to have a satisfactory answer in terms of I want justice.
Yeah.
You know, as I see it, I want justice in this world. But at the end of the day, as I said, I used that metaphor a few minutes ago. God is still God, and we're not.
Yeah.
And so if you believe what the Bible says, the ultimate destination is heaven, where, as we described it earlier. And so that's why Jesus Christ came, to give us forgiveness of our sins, so that when we finish this life on this earth, we go to heaven for eternity. Yeah. That's the big picture.
Yeah.
So it's big. We got any more metaphors, fellas?
I mean, No.
I think we've used several here. I'm out's a good one.
Yes.
I'm
fresh
out. Of metaphor. Anyway.
At the end of the day, we got a triple.
At the end of the day. Go ahead at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, these poor children and many adults have died, and Christians can pray in faith to God to help bring healing and comfort the family members that are left behind, and if there's still some surviving, pray, folks, that rescuers will find them. And so there are still things that we can focus on.
Right.
Yes, many of us have these questions, but there are things we can pray and ask God for, because Romans 8 also says that God does bring good out of even terrible situations. So pray that God will bring good out of this catastrophe.
One other question or statement, I guess, slash, you mentioned the Old Testament story of Job.
Yes.
And what happened to him. And, you know, he had to suffer through a lot of bad things, and he's going, why, God, is this happening
to me? Lost family members.
So you flip over to the New Testament. Is there any greater character other than Jesus Christ than Paul in his story and what he did? I was reading this morning in Ephesians, written by Paul.
Yeah.
Just remarkable life that he lived, and the way that he he initiated the spread of the Christianity into the Mediterranean, greater Mediterranean area there during his time and the travels that he took. Guess what? All that he did, and did he not end up being crucified? That's the
Tradition says.
Now, I don't know about crucified.
Beheaded.
But
church tradition says that Paul was beheaded in Rome.
Peter
was crucified upside down.
Okay, yes. That's what I was thinking
according
about.
To
I was thinking about according to tradition. It's not in the scripture.
Yes.
But there are accounts in the scripture, in the New Testament, of people who were martyrs.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Paul was beaten countless times and
suffered
hunger. Okay,
Paul could have gone, okay, God, why was I shipwrecked?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm quitting because you let me be shipwrecked.
Yeah.
Or you let me be beaten or flogged. I read it the other day. And he was flogged, meaning
39 lashes.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, what I'm saying is this is a giant of the faith. Nobody was closer to God than Paul in the Bible that we know of. And yet here he had to suffer the consequences of
hatred of God.
Hatred of God. See, so you can't let your faith be conditional on whether life's always rosy or not. I know that people don't. Most people listening to us are.
They expect some trouble, but not on this level.
Right.
And that's what tests faith, is you get this super horrific tragedy that is outside what you think should be normal. We should experience this kind of possibility of bad things happening, but when you get way out here, like this flood with grandkids.
Or if you live in Kyiv.
Yes.
Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
We haven't even mentioned that story because we've been mentioning this. Kyiv, Ukraine, is just being bombarded. It's a beautiful, great city. Ray's talked about it. The Russians, Putin, are just bombarding them now. Mm-hmm. They were holding back, I think, on Kyiv in particular, but now they're just bombarding that. Now, Ukraine's giving it back to them, but I'm just saying if you live in Kyiv and you're having to now you're worried about dying in a bombing.
Yeah,
you're wondering what we were just talking
or
about.
Or you're a refugee in Poland from Kyiv, and you're thinking I'm never going home. I have to start all over here.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Is there a good book you could recommend on this subject? I can't think of one.
I'm not sure off the top of my head. A good one.
Yeah.
You're talking about.
These questions of life.
I mean, C.S. Lewis wrote a book about the problem of pain. I read that many years ago. It's a short book, C.S. Lewis, The Problem of Pain.
That's the title of it?
Yeah. And he
has a lot of application for what we're talking about here?
It's been 20 years since I've read it, but it's excellent. It's C.S. Lewis, but he talks a lot about, even talks about animals and the suffering of animals and things like that. So it's a very short book, but that's been one of his most popular.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
You betcha.
For Fred providing us with the research and the news stories for this hour. I'm Tim with Ed, and we'll be back with Steve Paisley-Jordahl. And Steve's got some updated information on the story out of with the flooding in Texas. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.